here they were, and they were tired, and Jesus wanted to spend some time by himself praying alone, and he needed the people to disperse, and so his disciples could get some rest, and he sent them home. But in the middle of the process of getting to the other side of the lake, they were hit by a storm. I believe it was a storm that Jesus very well knew was going to happen. Could it be that sometimes Jesus sends us into the middle of a storm so he can get us through a storm? If there was never a storm to go through, there would never be a storm to get through, right? And he leads us in these processes to get us. Sometimes we have to get stuck in the middle so God can show us that he's in control in the middle of the storm. And there was that transition process, because we know that as soon as Jesus stepped into the boat, after the wonderful story of Peter walking on the water, and after they saw Jesus and thought he was a ghost, but when Jesus got in the boat, the Bible says immediately they were at their destination. You know, friends, I feel like we've been walking through a storm. I really do. And I don't believe that, you know, we could say it was a storm of our own making, and maybe a lot of it was, but I also think it was a storm that Jesus very well knew we were going to walk through. And I believe that he has led us. I don't think that he gets pleasure out of storms, but he gets pleasure out of victories in storms. And I believe he has led us in a storm so he can give us a victory through the storm to prepare us for our there, where he wants us to be. I believe that not only is Jesus in the middle of a storm, but I believe that Jesus is also at the bottom of a mountain. Sometimes Jesus is when we're at the bottom of life situations. You ever feel like you've been at the, what we call, rock bottom? Somebody said that when you're at rock bottom, that's when you realize that Jesus is a rock at the bottom. Isn't that true? It's awesome. You know, but sometimes when we're trying to get from here to there, we find ourselves with our backs up against the wall. Or maybe in this case, we find ourselves with our backs up against a mountain. Somebody said this. Actually, Richard P. Feynman said this. He said, there's plenty of room at the bottom.
This is not cooperating. Sorry.
There's plenty of room. Is it freezing up today?
Yeah.
It was working, but anyway, there's plenty of room at the bottom. You know why? Because nobody wants to be at the bottom, right? Matter of fact, somebody else said that the bottom is too crowded. Well, that's because a lot of people find themselves in the bottom. But also, there's a lot of room at the bottom because nobody wants to stay in the bottom. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay at the bottom of the situation. I want to find myself growing in my faith. I want to find myself walking in what God has for me to walk in. You might could restart that if you wanted to. It didn't work. But God has a plan for us, and I believe that God is trying to get us from here to there. And I believe that we not only find ourselves stuck in the middle, but we find ourselves at the bottom of a mountain. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 17 for just a few minutes today. You just have to listen to me for a minute if you don't have your phone Bible or your Bible with you today. But this is the story of Jesus coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember the story? He was up there, and Moses and Elijah were revealed to Peter, James, and John as they saw him there on the top of the mountain to show that Jesus was what? He was also the God of the law and the prophets. So we see this transfiguration of Jesus at the top of the mountain, but then Jesus comes down the mountain. And at the bottom of the mountain, we find some things happening. Look at verse 14 in chapter 17. At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. Talking about Jesus, Peter, James, and John. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but look what happened. They could heal him. You know, sometimes it feels like when we pray, we don't get our prayers answered. It's like, okay, God, don't you hear us? Is our faith not big enough? I mean, don't you care about us? I mean, come on, you pray those prayers. Amen. I'm so glad that he does heal us. And Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Then Jesus rebuked the demon and the boy, and it left him. And from that moment, the boy was well. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? That's an honest question, right? Look what Jesus' response was to them, but you don't have no faith. He said, I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there. You love that? Move from here to there, and what would happen? It would move. Nothing would be impossible. I know we did a series here a while back on different types of faith, about no faith, about weak faith, about limited faith, little faith, about great faith. But look what he said, if you just have enough faith as a grain of a mustard seed, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from where? From here to there. You know, sometimes we find ourselves backed up against that mountain, don't we? And you know, we need sometimes to speak to that mountain. We need to command that mountain to move. And well, Jesus had all power. He had all authority. And so, you know, he could speak to that mountain. The disciples were still learning about faith. They're still learning about trusting God with even the impossible. But here, after coming down from the top of, well, a lot of people believe it was Mount Hermon. At the top of Mount Hermon, which had about an elevation of 9,200 feet. It's one of the, I guess it's the one mountain in northern Israel where snow collects, where they have ski resorts. But it was at the top of Mount Hermon. Some people believe it was Mount Tabor, which would have been a little bit further south, back towards the Sea of Galilee. But when you look at where Jesus just came from, he came from Galilee, came up across the Sea of Galilee with the disciples through Bethsaida, and then they had this great incident at Caesarea Philippi, which is actually at the foot of Mount Hermon as well. Caesarea Philippi, that's where Jesus asked them that wonderful question, who do you say that I am? Or who do men say that I am? And then he asked them, who do you say that I am? And you remember what Peter's response was? Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well, that's still true, Peter. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing that. Yeah, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. Because it was there at the foot of that mountain where the Pan God, one of the gods that the people worship, had his dwelling, and there was a river that came out of that mountain, and it was there that people believed that flowed to the bottomless pit, to Hades itself, and they would throw goats in that because Pan was the goat god, and they would throw goats in that, and if the goat floated, then their sacrifice wasn't accepted, and there was all kinds of rituals and horrific things, and it was there that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. I told you before that I believe Jesus wasn't just talking about the profession of Peter's faith, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, which it was in a sense. But I believe he was also pointing to that mountain with those evil worshiping gods and saying, upon this rock I'll build my church. In other words, on hard places, what the enemy thought he could take, I'm going to turn it around for good. You know, friends, I want to be honest with you. I think the church is built in hard places. If it was easy to grow a church, everybody would grow a church, right? If it was easy to build a church in a community where we were always accepted, that would be an easy thing to do. But we find ourselves many of times in difficult situations because there's a difficult world out there that Satan doesn't want us to occupy. But it was there at the bottom of Mount Hermon when Jesus and some of his disciples had come down, that they had this incident with this man and his son who was in need and the disciples could hear. First of all, let me just say this today. The bottom is, first of all, the place where your backs are against the wall. Excuse me. The place where your backs are against the wall. Or maybe in this case, their backs were against the mountain. You see, verse 14 said, at the foot of the mountain, there was a large crowd waiting for them. A man came up before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. You know, friends, when you're trying to get from here to there and you feel like your back's up against the wall or against the mountain, it's probably because there's confusion. I mean, there was confusion. This man assumed that, if the disciples of Jesus were true disciples, if Jesus could heal him, then they could heal him. But there was confusion because the boy could not be healed by the disciples praying for him. There was neediness at the bottom of the mountain. I don't believe it was just this man and his son. I believe that everywhere Jesus went, there were throngs of people that needed something from him. Needed what he had to offer them. And, you know, when you're up against something, there's needs that you have. That sometimes there is confusion, but there's also places where you have need. The bottom of the mountain, at the foot of the mountain, is also a place where you feel helpless. Anybody ever feel helpless before? You ever feel like that? You didn't have any way to change this situation? You're in a place, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I feel like that we're at the mercy of other people. Most of all, I know we're at the mercy of God, but I'll be honest with you, through this process, I feel like we've been at the mercy of people. I feel helpless at times, I'll be honest with you. And then also, there's something from your life, whether it's a financial need or a physical need, and you just feel like that, you know, you just can't get through this thing, you can't find any way out of it, your body just won't want to seem to get healed through it, and you just say, you know, I'm just going to have to accept this thing. You know, sometimes that's just almost a defeat mentality, isn't it? And that's what happens sometimes when we're in a transition from here to there, and we find ourselves not only stuck in the middle, but we find ourselves up against a wall or a mountain. We feel confused and needy and helpless and defeated. Morgan, in his commentary, says, there was a mountain, and now there's a valley. There was the glorified saints, but now there's the sick and the needy, the lunatic, he calls it. There goes the king of his heavenly glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, but now here are the representatives of the people who are baffled and beaten in their faith. You see, Jesus had a wonderful experience on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, when Peter, James, and John got to experience some of that. And, you know, Jesus was encouraged because Jesus was setting his sights to Jerusalem. It was there that he would go up another mountain or a hill called Golgotha's Hill. And I believe that it was at the top of that mountain that he could see that other mountain, maybe in his spirit, that hill in Golgotha. And so this was a place of encouragement on the mountain. But then he has to come back down the mountain and find all the needs of the people. Find the throes of helpless, needy, confused, and defeated people. I feel like sometimes that's the way the church is. We, you know, and that's okay, you know, because the church is supposed to be a place that ministers to people, that prays for the sick, that encourages people. You know, that's why it's good for people to come to church. It should be.
Amen.
You know, if you're needy or helpless or defeated or confused, you know, this is a good place to be. You know, if you are in need of a healing, this is a good place. You know, we want to pray for you. We want to be an encouragement to you. We want to, you know, we want to help you as best we can. We can't meet your needs, but we know a God who can, right?
Amen.
I mean, I know there are things physically we can do that God allows us and helps us do. But you know, we sometimes just need to gather ourselves when we're up against a mountain. When we find ourselves with our backs against the wall. When we find ourselves at the bottom of life's journey. Come on, every now and then we hit rock bottom. That's not the point and the time to forsake the gathering of yourselves. That's the time to come together and worship God.
Amen.
That's time for the church to gather. You know, come on, friends. How do I know that? Because I see a lot of empty seats today. And a lot of them are because the people are sick. But yet a lot of them are just because people don't want to be in the house of the Lord. There are people that are hurting in our world that need Jesus. They're confused. They're needy. They're helpless. They're defeated. You know, church, we can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. I wish we could. But every now and then we got to come down, don't we? We got to come down and walk through the valley. You know, really, if you think about it, nothing grows on the mountaintop. So I guess snow falls. Oxygen, actually, the higher you get in elevation, you know, I just went up to Pikes Peak. You know, the higher you get up in elevation, the thinner the oxygen level gets, doesn't it? It gets harder to breathe. And you find yourself struggling and gasping. I know we've been through some different passes in Colorado. And you know, just seeing that, man, we got out of the car and walked around and take some pictures. I just felt like just trying to gasp for breath. I said, man, I am out of shape. I realized how bad it was. But nothing grows on the mountain. Really, fruitfulness happens in the valley, doesn't it? When you're at the bottom, that's where God grows you. That's where God teaches you things. That's where God feeds you and shows you and gives you the strength to climb another mountain. Amen. I know at the mountain we feel like we're high and we're closer to God, but you know what? Could it be that God's just as close in the valleys as he is on the mountaintops? You know, I'd say that there was not only the sense of confusion, neediness, helplessness, and defeat, but I said this last week is that when you're stuck in the middle, there's this fear, frustration, and futility that everything you've done won't work and hasn't worked. You feel like you've tried everything and nothing's happened. I feel like when Jesus came down from this mountain, there wasn't only needy people, helpless, confused, defeated people, but it's almost like maybe Jesus was getting frustrated with them a little bit. Oh, I know that, you know, does he ever get frustrated with us? Well, maybe he does get frustrated with me. I don't know. He could. But there's a sense. There's a sense. I mean, look at verse 17. Look. Jesus came down from now. What did he say? He said, you faithless. I don't know if he was just talking to his disciples. Or maybe he was talking to all of those that were just following him. You know, they were just hungry for miracles and hungry for fish and bread. But he said, you faithless and corrupt people. How long must I be weak? What does that sound like to you? Doesn't that sound like a little frustration? I mean, it almost sounds like, you know what? Man, how many miracles do I have to show you? How many times do I have to heal you? How many times do I have to feed you and break bread with you? How many times do I have to teach you something? And you just don't get it. Sometimes I feel like at the bottom of the mountain, we get frustrated. I mean, we feel like that everything we've heard and been taught just isn't working, right? Nobody's listening. And maybe Jesus was kind of frustrated a little bit as well. But Jesus always knew the reason and purpose behind everything. If he was frustrated because he was frustrated at sin, he was frustrated at sickness, he was frustrated at an enemy that put people in bondage, he wasn't frustrated so much at the people. He was frustrated at what the people were going through. It's kind of like Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb, you know. The Bible says that, you know, he wept and he cried because, you know, he saw the hurt of the people that were crying and weeping, Mary and Martha and their friends. And, you know, it bothered him that death had won a victory over one of his friends. And so he cried and they said, look how much Jesus loved him. Yeah, he did. I don't think it was because of Lazarus, because, you know, he knew what was fixing to happen. But maybe it was because of the people's disbelief. Because didn't Mary and Martha both say, well, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died? They both said that to him. Oh, and he just had to keep reiterating, I am the resurrection and the life. You just believe. Your brother's going to live again. You know, of course, Martha's like, well, I know he's going to live again in the resurrection. Yeah, but Jesus was trying to think of something, you know, he's going to live right now. You don't even know. You don't even know what I'm facing today because you've never seen it before. See, that's what kind of works. And he gets frustrated. He's frustrated at what we do and the sin in our lives and the lack of faith that we have. But that's what happens sometimes when you're on your way from here to there. You know, Jesus knew where he was going. He had a plan. And he was also always being confronted with people who were struggling with life and struggling with faith. You see, the bottom is not only the place where your backs are against the wall, but the bottom between here and there is also the place where your trust in God becomes a reality. Or maybe I can say it like this, is where your faith is tested. The Bible says in verse 19 that afterward the disciples asked Jesus properly, why couldn't we cast out that demon? Look what he said, you don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. Barclay said in his commentary, it's easy to feel Christian in the moment of prayer and meditation. You know, we had just a great moment with the Lord, and we've cried, and we shed tears, and we feel the Spirit of God. We feel Christ-like there, don't we? When we get up from an altar of prayer, or when we had a wonderful worship service, or, you know, we've been meditating on the Word of God, we feel Christian. You know, it's easy to feel close to God when the world is shut out. But that is not religion. That is escapism. Real religion is to rise from our knees before God to meet men and the problems of the human situation. But did Jesus say something to this effect that true religion is to do what? To feed the homeless and the orphans, the widows, to take care of those. He said it's what? It's put your faith to action. It's easy to feel Christ-like when we come and we gather in a beautiful place and we worship the Lord and we're all hyped up and we feel that we've met with God, and hopefully that is. That's not hype. It's really an experience. But can I tell you that Christianity doesn't just happen in church? It happens when we leave here today. It happens when we walk out our day-to-day routines at our jobs, at our schools, or in our families, at our homes. That's where Christianity really happens. You see, friends, that's the places that we really have to trust God. And that's the place where our trust in God becomes a reality. Are we going to be who we say we are on Monday through Saturday as we are on Sunday? I don't see you during the week, so I don't know what your life sometimes at home. You don't know what I'm like at home. You just have to trust me and ask my wife. Trust her. But listen to me, friends. There's a reality that sets in. Amen. When we're trying to get from here to there, it's where God meets us, but it's also a place where we have to trust God to meet us. It's that reality that even if we don't have enough faith, Jesus will help increase our faith. Do you believe that God is bringing us back to the place he has for us? I do. I believe that we are on a process and we are on a journey. Sorry, but I keep using that word. We are on a journey from here to there. And I believe that God's working on us in this movement that we are in and trying to get us. It's a place where we have to trust God.
I'll be honest with you, that's a hard word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Maybe the second part is the best part. Lean not on your own understanding, right? In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. So whatever you're walking through, just you have to trust the Lord. And wherever you're at in your walk with God, if it's you feel like you're walking through a valley and you're at the bottom of some dark hole that you can't get out, just know that God is with you if you'll trust Him. And He'll get you to the place He wants you to be. You see, that's where the bottom is. The bottom is the place where your backs are against the wall. It's the place where your trust in God becomes a reality. And here's a third thought I want to give. It's the place where your destination must remain clear. Verse 20, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. And nothing could be impossible. You know, I made mention a while ago about the place that the Mount of Transfiguration happened a lot. The Roman Catholic Church believes it could have been Mount Tabor, which would have been further south towards Galilee, which would have been closer to Jerusalem. And it could have been because, you know, there's probably about a week's time that took place between Jesus having that incident in chapter 16 where Peter makes that confession of faith and then time he's up on Mount Transfiguration. They could have gone back to the south. But a lot of people really believe that it was at Mount Hermon that this experience took place where Jesus went up and saw Moses and Elijah at the Mount of Transfiguration. And that kind of makes more sense to me as well. But when I think about that, if you look on a map, I was trying to Google the distance on my Google Maps. How far is it from Jerusalem to Mount Hermon? Of course, they use kilometers. It's about 320-something to 330. It's kind of hard to really figure because when they take you on a map it out, it takes you by roads, and the roads are making different directions. But I guess as far as the crow flies, it's about 200 miles. I don't know if Jesus could have seen Jerusalem from Mount Hermon, 200 miles. Maybe he could have. You know, Jesus could see the disciples on the water in a boat in the storm, struggling while he was on the mount praying in the middle of the night. So I imagine Jesus could have, in a spiritual sense. He could have saw because he had set his mind to head to Jerusalem. You see, Jesus was on one mountain, but maybe what he was looking at is he was looking at the destination on the hill called Golgotha. Maybe he was even looking past the hill of Golgotha, friends. Maybe he was looking at an upper room in Jerusalem where his followers would find the baptism in the Holy Spirit to become the church. You see, friends, Jesus knew that where he was at was not where he was staying. It was just pointing to where he was going. Can I tell you, friends, where we're at is not our final destination. This is just a part of a place in the process and in the journey from here to there. You know what we need to do? We need to keep it clear in our minds where God is leading us. Ultimately, we know our destination is we're in that great city where the Lamb is alive. In that city where there cometh no night. I have a mansion over there and is free from toil and fear. Care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. I know the song, I haven't sung it in a while. But it's the place where we're here. But now, on this earth, let's don't forget where we're going. Don't forget the process that God has. Don't forget the place that God is taking us to. Could it be that God is trying to get us to our there by commanding the mountain in our way to move out of the way? Maybe that's what was happening there as Jesus has come down from the Mount of a Transfiguration, that Mount Hermon, that bottom of that mountain that was filled with idolatry and all kinds of evil worship as he was dealing with the crowds. Maybe he had to move that mountain out of the way so he could get to the mountain that God had appointed him to be at, where he would hang on a tree and die for our sins of salvation. Maybe that mountain is really just a molehill standing in our way. Friends, we've got to learn to move past those things that are holding us back. And it's hard. In this journey from here to there, it's hard when your back's up against the wall. It's hard when you feel stuck in the middle of a storm and you feel backed up against the bottom of a mountain. It's hard when you feel like you're struggling with your faith. You're struggling with, you know, just to believe that God's going to get us there. Or you that are walking through your faith, it's hard when you're struggling with, well, am I ever going to see victory in my situation? Am I ever going to have victory in my family? Am I ever going to have victory in my heart or my sicknesses? Am I ever going to have victory in my finances? Am I ever going to see God bless me? Because God always wants to bless you. It's just in His way, not ours. But God is trying to get us from here to there. He's trying to get us away from the wall of disappointment and discouragement and confusion and defeat. He's trying to get us to place our trust in Him where our faith is a real faith and a real trust. He's trying to get us to the destination that I believe He's already made clear to us a few years ago where He wants us to be. So let me just encourage you today, if you're struggling with your walk and if you find yourself in the bottom of a pit, or if you find yourself with your back up against the wall, just know that God's for you, not against you. Just trust Him. He cares about you. Have faith. Believe. Just give Him a little faith to work with. God will help you move this mountain from here to there because God's working for you. Father, I thank you today for, Lord, I just thank you for your word. And thank you for the journey, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you for just the people that are in the journey with us, Lord. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, that we can trust you when we're on the mountaintops or when we're at the bottom of the mountain with our backs against the wall. Lord, it's in those moments that we feel defeated and deflated and just feel confused and helpless and needy, Lord, frustrated. Lord, it's in those moments that, Lord, you are with us and you remind us that you are the one who can move mountains. Nothing's impossible with you. Oh, I know that other translations says this kind of going out, but nothing but by prayer and fasting. Lord, there's this commitment and there's this faithfulness and determination that we need to have as your children to believe that you are still able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask, think, or imagine. Lord, I just thank you that you see the future, you see the past, but you see the place that you're trying to get us to. And today we just want to keep our hope in you and our faith in you. And Lord, today we celebrate victories. God, we celebrate the victory in Gary's life. We celebrate the victory in other people's lives. We celebrate the salvations that are coming to you today in other places and other churches. Lord, we just thank you for that. And maybe even here, Father, we don't know. Maybe your Spirit is drawing somebody in this place today that we don't know about. We believe there are people that have been affected by our gathering here. There are workers that know who we are, and they see your love for them through us. And Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. Maybe this is the bottom of a mountain for us, but yet it's also an opportunity for you to grow us and to be fruitful and teach us how to depend on you more. And so we do that, Lord. We just want to follow you today. Lord, we thank you, Father, for all these things. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you, Lord, in this journey. Thank you, Lord.